What's going on? He's that dude, Darrell, Daryl Teeler. I'm Justin Valentine. Cody Rhodes finishes the story. Damian Priest cashes in everything from WrestleMania weekend in Philadelphia. It's time to roar around the ring. Believe it or not, WrestleMania weekend has come and gone from Philadelphia, and it's weird because I feel like a lot of people predicted this, and it still didn't feel real when it happened. And of course, we got to start with Cody Rhodes finishing his story. A lot to go through. Of course, the Raw after Mania and two nights of WrestleMania. Kind of going in chronological order here. You have The Rock and Roman beating Cody and Seth. And straight up, as kind of we said last week, Cody got pinned.
Yeah.
And then comes Sunday night, Cody Rhodes defeating Roman Reigns to become the Undisputed Universal Champion with the help of multiple. Jey Uso got involved.
This really was the Avengers.
It really was.
And if WrestleMania 39 was Infinity War, WrestleMania 40 was Endgame.
That's what it feels like, right? And, you know, when you have John Cena come back, put Solo through a table.
Yeah.
The Rock comes out.
Jimmy
Shout
Uso
out to The
spearing,
Rock. Yep.
Or Jey Uso, rather, spearing Jimmy off the stage.
We figured the Usos would get involved. Shout out to The Rock completely cussing out John Cena his entire way down the ramp.
I feel like Rock's having he was just having too much fun just cussing everybody out at this point.
The whole time. He was in no hurry, right? Like, Cena had to sit in the ring and wait for him because Rock is just his slow walk. But, man, he was just
going. He waits for that music to hit, and then he just kind of puts the pep in the step a little bit.
So, yeah, The Rock come out, and then The Undertaker, as the lights go out, Taker underneath the ring. Shout out to the video of him scurrying out through the crowd afterwards. But
he's pretty quick for his age.
He is. Good for him, man.
Shout out Undertaker.
Shout out to Taker. Shout out to Mark. Undertaker.
First name basis. Mm. You going to text him and tell him you're proud of the work he did?
Yeah. All right. Good job, Mark. Appreciate you. Now, Taker getting involved, choke slamming The Rock. That eliminated The Rock from the equation. And then Cody with the Crossroads defeating Roman Reigns. I will say about the Undertaker spot, did it feel like that was supposed to be Austin and maybe something went left?
It did. I think a lot of people were probably expecting it to be Stone Cold. I never truly believed he was going to show up, but I did have that hope as a fan. And, you know, because we all reference back to that spot on Raw where Cody was getting beat down, where they lit up that part of the truck,
right?
Austin and Cena. So we're like, okay, something's going down. At least we got Cena.
And we got Cena. And I don't want to take away anything from, I mean, they call this the greatest WrestleMania, and you hear it every year.
Yeah.
The greatest main event, the greatest WrestleMania.
I don't think that's hyperbole for this one, though. That's not exaggeration.
No. The story of it, the moments, the match itself, because Cody, again, it's not even just a moment thing. It's not even just an importance or story thing. It's the match itself. I think that almost gets lost in everything that has happened with this story, everything that's happened with The Rock, everyone that showed up. It's a great match. Saturday night was a great match. The Rock hasn't lost a step, and I know we talked about that. And we kind of joked from New Year's Day when he went 15 seconds with Jinder and he was a little winded, you know, and maybe he wasn't in ring shape at the time. He sure as hell was in ring shape this weekend.
Yeah, I think maybe that particular moment with Jinder Mahal, Rock probably ate some of those infamous peanut butter pancakes of his prior to going out there. So he was a little slow, slow on the go. But the night one Saturday main event, thought it went a little long, but the focus for me was The Rock, and he did not miss a beat. I mean, he was in that thing for 45 minutes and just kept largely one of the biggest parts of the match to keep it moving along.
Yeah, I feel like, and I don't have the time on it, but I did hear that that was the longest WrestleMania main event of all time.
Yeah, I've heard.
I was okay with it. Like, not long, and you say it went a little long. I didn't feel like it dragged at all.
Maybe if you count entrances.
Well, entrances.
Which The Rock had the entrance of that night.
Oh my God, yeah, he did. And Roman, and so, I mean, you combine Rock's entrance with Roman.
Yeah.
Cody and Seth are just sitting around like, all right, guys, ready?
You're right. And Cody and Seth really had just kind of an entrance.
Their normal entrance.
Their normal entrance, which is okay. But, yeah, it was all about the heels, the bloodline that night.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have this main event. Cody wins. You have the locker room clear out. I mean, you look at the names, man. You have LA Knights out there with, of course, John Cena and Seth Rollins. Kevin Owens comes out there. Sami Zayn comes out there. I mean, legit names. Cody calls out Triple H and Bruce Pritchard. Look, we heard a lot about this is a new era, and Triple H doesn't want to call it the Triple H or Paul Levesque era, but Stephanie did. Michael Cole was calling it all weekend, right? Everyone's talking about new era, and you've heard that a lot throughout wrestling, right? This was a moment. outside of all the times we heard it over the weekend in Philadelphia, you could feel the shift
into
a new era as WrestleMania Night 2 went off the air.
Yeah, not just from not even just from the absence of America the Beautiful that they did not have sung either night, which is a former guy staple, you know, down to like just the announcers feeling so free and having fun on the broadcast. You can tell there's nobody like shouting and screaming in their ear. And then just the emphasis, the emphatic emphasis by Michael Cole at the end of, this is pro wrestling, pro wrestling's back, and I love pro wrestling, pro wrestling's beautiful.
I mean, it's a whole new thing in WWE that we haven't seen.
It's not a dirty word anymore.
No, not even a little bit. I mean, you heard it a lot. You heard it at the biggest moment. And then you look at the names who are in the ring to end WrestleMania Night 2, the future, right? We're looking at guys like LA Knight that we look as a future world champion, and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, Randy Orton and Seth Rollins, the veterans who have helped us get to this point, right? Yeah. CM Punk is back. That's a huge part of this era now of WWE. And that's what I felt was so important about who was in that ring celebrating with Cody Rhodes. A lot of people thought, oh, it's a bash at AEW, a bash at Tony Khan. No, it's not. This is what the era of WWE is in the men's division. This is the current guys, the future guys, and the veterans who are helping take those guys into the future of the new era.
The interesting thing about that celebration at the end, and I know a lot of people were saying the bash against Tony Khan and AEW, but there was also the sentiment that I felt, and a lot of other fans did, you know, a little older fans who remember the Bret Hart celebration at the end of WrestleMania 10, and that celebration was also meant to kind of usher out the Hulk Hogan era.
Right.
In the main event for Night 2 at WrestleMania 40, we saw a representation of eras. We didn't get Steve Austin, but we got The Undertaker.
Right.
With the 90s era. Late 90s era, The Rock was involved. Then we had John Cena.
Right.
You know, and then we even had a shout out to, you know, kind of like that 2010s of The Shield kind of being involved, you know, with Seth. And then it was all about Cody taking the title from Roman and just ushering in his new era now.
And I feel like, first off, I do want to confirm to everybody on social media, we were all with you when the Shield music hit. We definitely thought Dean Ambrose was going to be Jon Moxley.
I think I texted him like, Mox?
Yes.
Question marks.
When I tell you, shout out to my better half who was watching the whole weekend with me, by the way. And I'm going to get to that too, because that's
she soldiered it out, man.
Yeah. I didn't force her either. She willingly came out to the living room and watched. But when that music hit, that I don't know if it was on purpose or if there was an issue with the cameras. They never cut to who was coming through the crowd.
Right.
And I don't know if that was on purpose to freak us out or if something went left. But they never showed Seth coming through the crowd.
No, they didn't.
So the whole time the music's playing, I'm like, no fucking way did they get Mox. There's no way.
I legitimately believe that in that moment, that he was going to just pull a one-night appearance strictly for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something about this new era. Triple H is that guy, and you and I have talked about this off the air. The Vince booking decisions, right? The Vince decision making that we are so, you know, trained to think about. They would never do this. They would always do this. Of
even
course,
as fans,
do
we're
this.
Conditioned to fantasy book in our minds like that old Vince style of booking.
I'll put it this way: when I watch Cody's package, and you're seeing the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho on that video package,
even his TNA, like his brief run in TNA with him and Brandy, that was even in the package.
Yes. So, but when I saw those guys in the video package, they hyped up the fact that Cody's been on his bus all Sunday. No one's seen him. Mm-hmm. I took that as, who's on the bus with him, right? Uh-huh. There was a lot of who's going to help him. There was a slight, just because Triple H, and it's come out that he's willing to work with other companies. What if? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't happen. Was the possibility legit? Probably not. But that's what we're in wrestling right now. It's that what if, and that what if gets so much wider for wrestling fans, which makes it more fun because it seems like more of a possibility for the craziest things that you never thought you'd see on TV to actually happen in front of our eyes.
And I think that you have to be kind of like almost conservative in a way that you do it because you don't want to like lose the novelty of that.
Right.
But it's really cool to know that it's not, you know, you don't really have to call it a forbidden door anymore at this point.
No, we're all wrestling, right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before when we talk about tribalism. It's not 1998.
Nope.
No one's going out of business right now.
Nope.
Right? No one's trying to put the other out of business.
Some people think they might be trying to put someone else out of business.
And it's not going to happen, right? And obviously WWE's not going anywhere. No. It's basically one big story. They all acknowledge the other. They all acknowledge what they did in the other company. That's kind of where we are in wrestling. Whether you're talking about New Japan, Impact, AEW, WWE, it's all just one big wrestling universe and wrestling world, and if you do it right, it makes wrestling that much more fun.
Right.
And that's what Triple H is so open to doing, which is what made WrestleMania weekend, and we're not dumb. We still, this is before SmackDown,
right, yeah,
here in Detroit. You know what I mean? And
these
that's
the
what makes it so fun.
The aftershocks of WrestleMania.
Because
yeah.
we're like, who knows what he's going to pull off, right? Because anything's on the table at this point, what it feels like. You know what I'm saying? So the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes, of course, opening the show, getting the title from Triple H, The Rock's music hits, Roman Reigns seemingly going away for a while. That's what, you know, he was mentioned, of course, wasn't seen on Raw. I doubt we'll see him on SmackDown. And again, not for a while, but The Rock also said he's going away. But he wants that title. That's what he says. He'll be back. Whether Cody is champion or not, he wants Cody, and he wants that title. Even held the title. They had an awkward title exchange.
Yeah, even the crowd was saying, this is awkward.
This is awkward. Yeah. I thought they were going to go the Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair awkward title.
Well, I thought The Rock was going to take it, and Cody's going to be like, give it back. Rock's like, what title?
Yeah.
Excited behind his back. What title?
It just turns
about?
Into a 45-minute just like.
Hey, Johnson, I told you I was going to make that title go away. What title?
Throws it out of the ring.
Get out of here.
I mean, so you had that awkward title exchange, but The Rock did say he is going away for a while. So before we get to The Rock coming back and what that looks like with Cody, who do you want to see step up to Cody before we get to a potential match with The Rock?
There's a number of people, obviously, but we still also have to see. To me, it really depends on what they're going to do with the draft.
Yeah.
Because at this point, anything you really do is kind of like a TV feud.
Sure.
I don't think you want to set anything in stone because it's like, okay, well, we got a month or less now until we get there. However, I would not mind if Cody is going to be going between shows right now or he's going to have a feud on Raw. I don't want to go the Gunther route yet. The first person that comes to mind for me is Randy Orton.
Okay.
But I think that's probably more of a like long-term invested program where you're going to have a few matches out of it. So that would probably be after the draft.
That's the beautiful thing about moving on with the era is we got so many fresh matches that we can do no matter what show he ends up on. I expect him to be on SmackDown. I think Randy Orton is a good option. But again, there's no wrong answers, it feels like. And this is, again, the beautiful thing. Paul Heyman said something during his Hall of Fame speech about when he said he's a Paul Levesque guy. He said that Triple H working for him under his leadership gives them the creative freedom backstage to create so many superstars.
Yeah.
That roster is one of the deepest. I know the joke on social media is that 2009 or 2008 roster, you know, is so deep. This roster is so deep in the sense of there are main event players so far down the line.
Yeah.
And there are no wrong answers. You put Kevin Owens in front of Cody, no one's going to be mad. You put Orton in front of Cody, you put Sami Zayn in front of Cody. I know he's IC champion right now. And AJ Styles.
I was about
LA
to say,
Knight.
AJ Styles is the guy that honestly would make a lot of sense given the character, the heel run he's on. You said main eventers, potential main eventers down the line. Right now, what we have in WWE, what they have is you have NXT like full force. We have guys like Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. These are guys that can easily be slotted up, and then within a year's time or less,
the surface on the main
roster. And within a year's time or less, they're going for the world title on the main roster. So it's just an ever revolving door of here's your next challenger.
I do like the Randy Orton story. Obviously, the history is there. I think AJ Styles is a great option. You got the Bullet Club history.
So WrestleMania 40, the end of that, just cut you off real quick.
Sure.
when they're hoisting Cody up, I'm looking at Randy, I'm looking at Triple H. I'm like, okay, someone's got to give a thumbs down here.
This just is gonna for the joke?
Just do it. And then be like, we're just playing. Yeah.
Cody would sell that, too.
Wait, what? I'm messing with you.
Just kidding. You're
good. Or am I? Yeah,
you have Orton kind of like, No.
You're right.
So, okay, down the line, Rock wants Cody again. That's a match. Remember, Rock pinned Cody. Cody had this great moment over the weekend. He got pinned by The Rock fairly clean. Do you want to see this match? Do you want it to be for the title? When do you want to see this match? How would you go about booking this?
One-on-one straight up, I think you... Okay. So the difficult part about this is that Cody would be the babyface, assumingly, in this. You're going to kind of split the crowd a little bit because they're going to want to cheer The Rock.
Sure.
But that you can get over that once you get past the feud. I think that... depending on how long Roman Reigns is gone, this could be a SummerSlam match. It also depends on how long The Rock's going to be off filming his movie. I know he's doing that Smashing Machine film. But whenever he comes back, my idea would be Rock Cody is your summer program.
Yeah.
Rock Roman could be a WrestleMania program.
Yeah, that's where you got to go. I think SummerSlam is headlined by Cody Rhodes versus The Rock, and I would have Roman Reigns not be seen until the night of SummerSlam, where he screws The Rock out of winning that title. And that would set up WrestleMania 41 to do Roman Rock to main event one of the nights.
Because your built-in story is there. Just what you reference is there. I mean, you hit it right on the head. That is Roman saying, you took my legacy away from me.
Right.
Now I'm going to make sure you're not going to redefine one of your own. And that's what your whole lead up is, you know.
I mean, and you got to remember, they wanted that match. And shout out to the documentary that's going to come out to show us the behind the scenes of the pivot that they did, because Triple H confirmed in multiple interviews with the Pat McAfee show, in other words, or other places in press conference as well, over the weekend, that the legitimate game plan, this was not a whole, you know, angle from the beginning. They were going to go Roman versus Rock.
Yeah.
And it was a legitimate pivot because of the crowd response, which is the beautiful thing about professional wrestling. It's the beautiful thing about Triple H being in the position that he's in, because he's open to that, right?
Yeah.
Previous era probably would have just moved forward with...
Fans be damned. Yeah.
You know, and what?
We,
you're going to watch.
We saw that. I know we got, you know, we got Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
At Mania 30, and that was, you had to drag the company kicking and screaming to let that happen.
Yeah, but that was over a year of begging for Bryan.
Yeah, and it was just, you know, at the Royal Rumble, and it was like, no, we're really going to go. They were really going to dead set to go with Batista and Orton. You know, that was their match they wanted. And
man,
love both guys as performers, but that was not a main event for WrestleMania. Yeah. So I'm glad they, you know, but that was then, this is now, and I think now we're at a place with the company where the willingness to make changes. There's not a stubbornness. It's not a my way or the highway. And it's what we got, I can only imagine, is so much better build-up-wise than what we probably would have gotten.
So part of night two, we mentioned Seth Rollins. He closed out night one, opened up night two, defending against Drew McIntyre. Great match.
Oh, yeah.
Drew McIntyre came out hot. I mean, the Claymore. I thought it was
the,
I thought
the
they were
Rose
doing.
The Rosebuds were out there.
Yeah, the shout out to Adam Rose. Seth, come on, man.
They kept the match nice and concise, too. And I think, I don't know if it just because Seth was coming off of that main event. I mean, the guy wrestled within 24 hours of, you know, and banged up. And you know, they even mentioned on commentary, he's basically being held together by duct tape. And he's out there defending the title. It was about a 10, maybe 11-minute match.
Yeah.
But everything it was so good.
You could see it at the end of the night, too. Like, he was helped out by KO and Cena, and he was barely moving. His eye got messed up during that Drew match as well. I thought that it was over with that Claymore.
Well, Seth, I thought we were getting the Sheamus Daniel Bryan finish.
And how perfect, because CM Punk was on commentary. Yeah. Who did Daniel Bryan kiss before, you know, that finish to Sheamus?
I thought you were going to say CM Punk, but AJ
nope,
Lee, yeah.
Yeah, nope.
So which WrestleMania were you watching?
Yeah, that was a whole different website.
Oh,
my bad.
Bootleg Mania.
With Punk, you know, AJ Lee, of course, that connection. It felt like that was a little callback just to make us think.
Right.
I thought it was legit over. Drew got the win. Shout out to Seth saying, you deserve it. I love that moment. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But CM Punk on commentary, Drew gets in his face. Punk, I don't think he's healthy per se.
No, but
ready?
I don't think so either. I think it was just, look, I can do this. I can't have a match, but I can do this. And I think it was because we heard him on, you know, with Errol Hawani, basically saying that they're telling me I can only do so much. I really want to kind of say, damn it, and just do more.
Yeah.
I think they told him, we're cool with you doing that. Just don't get crazy with it. You know?
I think he's closer than we realize because he showed up on Raw, of course, screw Drew as well, and he wasn't wearing a brace or anything.
Yeah,
he
I
just had
that.
A hoodie.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I don't think he's ready, but I think he's a lot closer than we expect. But attacking Drew McIntyre, that whole match, the whole story, Drew tweeting out.
Bored at work
with his girl at ringside and grabbing the phone in the middle of the match.
Well, Punk, and that was great. And just to show you how great of a social media troll Drew McIntyre has become. And CM Punk, without just being on commentary, was like unofficially the third participant in this match.
Yes.
And it was so good beyond just him being on commentary, because I liked when he made it a point to yell really loud so Drew could hear him.
Yeah
he's doing it out here because he can't get it done in the ring.
I noticed that.
When Drew's like berating him and yelling, and Punk's just sitting there, he's like, I literally can't hear anything you're saying. I have headphones.
He is such a troll. And as great as Drew is, you're not going to get on the level of CM Punk.
Because
it's so effortless for him to be a troll.
I love the story they told
with that.
Because Drew, what was his whole thing going against Seth? You're not focused.
Yep.
You're worried about Cody and The Rock and Roman. Focus on me, right? Drew could not, from a character standpoint, Drew McIntyre could not help himself. He couldn't take his moment. He couldn't take the W and leave. He had to, what do you say, the negativity. He had to buy into the negativity. He had to do it. He couldn't leave well enough alone, and Drew screwed Drew.
So Drew McIntyre, as you're mentioning, got in CM Punk's face. Punk got up. Damian Priest music hits. He had his ladder match the first night of WrestleMania, so he was free. And
a lot of people working double duty on this show, man.
I noticed that as well, which, again, push your stars.
And it's a testament to the locker room that they're invested. They wanted it to be like the biggest Mania of all time.
And that's what it felt like, because Priest to open up night two, cashing in.
Off a ladder
Damian
match.
Damian Priest, your world heavyweight champion. Are you okay with them doing this to Drew McIntyre?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. And I predicted this would happen if you wanted Mania.
You did.
Two, I think it serves to help his character even more. This isn't a thing, he won it and now he's just back down. No, this isn't done yet. And the CM Punk feud is still built in. Now we have all of these people involved in this title situation where it's not just Priest has it and forget everybody else. It's like, no, Priest has it. Rollins can still come back and say he needs a rematch. Yep. Drew can say he wants a rematch.
Yeah.
CM Punk wants to get involved in that too. It opened up a lot, and it's going to be really exciting to see where they go.
It does. It adds to the character of Drew McIntyre, a man with how great Drew has been on the mic, online, in the ring. I'm scared of and then remember, CM Punk went on to screw Drew McIntyre in the Fatal 4-Way. Jey Uso is going to challenge Damian Priest for that world title, but I'm scared of how Drew is going to react and what we could hear on the mic, what we can see in the ring when Punk is healthy again, because these are now, Drew McIntyre has turned into a guy that is not afraid to say or do anything on screen. Yeah. CM Punk has been that guy for a long time. This feud has so much fire, and what I love about it that not enough people are talking about is what this does for the CM Punk-Seth Rollins rivalry.
Oh, man.
Because when Seth comes back, it's reported he's going away, he's getting healthy. I saw about 4 weeks, not that long.
Yeah, I heard 2 to 4 weeks.
Right, so not that long. He's going to be gone for about a month, probably miss Backlash in France. But when Rollins gets back and gets back into the fold, this is going to add fire to the Punk-Rollins feud, because what did Rollins say to Drew? You deserve this.
Yeah.
And then what did Punk end up doing? Taking it away from Drew. Seth's going to have even more of a problem with that, to add to the whole selfishness he thinks of Punk. You have to make it about you. This dude worked his ass off. We put on a great WrestleMania match, and you made the moment about you. That not only adds to the Punk-Drew rivalry, but the Punk-Rollins rivalry all at once.
I didn't even think about that, and that's perfect that you brought that up, because it really does. We know that there is a legitimate, at least there was and probably still is, legitimate I don't like you kind of beef between the two of Seth Rollins and CM Punk. I think that from a story standpoint now, like you just brought up, serves to more of that, like this, Seth basically saying I've been right about everything I've said about you, because you show your character, your true self time after time after time. And that just really propels that.
Drew called Damian Priest a transitional champion. How true do you feel like this is going to be? Do you think Drew's going to end up with the title sooner rather than later?
I don't think sooner. I really don't want to believe that Priest is just transitional champion. I actually think that the three guys fighting for his, like, around that, not just Jay, you know, getting the title shot, which I don't necessarily expect him to win.
No.
But Punk, Rollins, and Drew. Those three fighting about, I want to challenge him, it serves to make it, you know, kind of a little more prestigious, where Priest can still survive that, go toe-to-toe with each of them, and be like, look, I am legitimate. I am a world heavyweight champion, and you have, in order to get this, you have to go through me.
Yeah, I think Priest should hold it at least into the summer.
Yeah.
We talked about it before with Gunther's title reign ending, with Roman's title reign ending. We need to be okay with title chains happening
absolutely
a lot sooner than what we've seen in the past, right? Rhea's over a year now, but this whole, you know, year plus, whatever it may be, we don't need that from everyone. And it is okay, and it's still a successful reign if Damian Priest goes on and drops it in June or July.
Right.
It's okay. That was only 2 to 3 months.
Because my take on it is, if it's to solidify someone's reign, like Rhea, for example, you brought Rhea up. So her, for example, having her win it last year at WrestleMania and then retain it this year, to me, it's not, you're just having her, you know, putting her over. Well, one, she's super over. She's a megastar.
Yes.
Two, it solidifies her reign as she is that good. She is worthy of holding this title. Now, from this point on, she doesn't really need to hold it that much longer. We don't need her going into WrestleMania next year, holding it and keeping it again. But for other people, like you know, to your point about not having years-long title reigns, Priest, he can be champion as long as it serves to a story after that. If he doesn't need to, it's not about numbers. It's not about saying 1,000 days, 1,200. We don't need all that.
No.
Just serve the story and move on.
When it comes to these stories, because Drew and Punk have a feud, Drew and Seth have their history, Seth and Punk have a feud, how much are you okay with them potentially combining what's going on here? Or do you want them to tell one story and then move on? Because a triple threat would headline a pay-per-view here.
Absolutely.
Right, but yeah. Like, is that something, because a lot of people assume Punk Rollins should happen at next year's WrestleMania because it was supposed to happen at this year's WrestleMania. Do you waste a triple threat, is wasting the right word, before you get to those two one-on-one at Mania?
I don't want to say wasting it. I think actually, honestly, depending on how things go with Priest run, if it makes sense and how much you can drag out these other individual feuds, you could end up with a triple threat at WrestleMania next year. And I would not hate that with any of these people involved.
I think you could get it before. I think if Drew ends up with that title at any point in 2024, if he ends up with that title heading into SummerSlam, your SummerSlam main event for the world title at least could be Drew, Seth, and Punk. And I think that's okay, right? And I think, you know, Punk and Rollins, they're too close now to go a whole year without touching, without talking. They're on the same show. I know the draft's coming up. So, I mean, that could change a lot. But a whole nother year, if we're assuming they're going at Mania next year, where they do nothing for all of 2024, unless it would be different if Punk was going to be out longer, if Seth's going to be out longer. It sounds like both of these guys are going to be back on TV by the summer. You're going to tell me that they're not going to have any match, any confrontation, anything until next April? That's not realistic, right?
Right. No, I don't think we get it like put off that long. There's, especially when you hit the summer, there's so, like, that's when you start introducing a lot of your bigger programs. It's Mania season, early summer, and then in the fall.
Yes.
You know, so to have them just, well, you guys just kind of do little side quests until you get to, you know, until we get to, you know, November.
Right.
It's just like, no, I don't think so. We're going to have an interaction before then.
Well, we say that, but Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso turned on each other at SummerSlam and never had a match till WrestleMania, so.
Which.
That match.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you do with Jimmy now? Not to change subject.
I don't know.
Star. Jay's over as ever. I don't blame him, man. That was not a good match.
No, it was not. And I didn't believe any of the emotion they were trying to put into it. Not to pivot into talking about this match but it really just. What it should have been and what it could have been suffered from a lack of paying attention to the buildup and then just doing the buildup last minute, which, they called an audible. They tried to save it. It was fine. But then the match itself, when the bell rang, it was just like, this is – we got a super kick fest, and then we got some fake apology thing, and then the match was over. I didn't buy into any of it.
I didn't feel any of it. Not a lot of people did. I hate that the super kick fest happened.
I hate the super kick fest anywhere because I feel like – Shawn Michaels is just pulling out whatever hair he has left.
That's my point, right? And for Triple H, of all people, I'm surprised that was even a spot. We yell at the Young Bucks for doing stuff like that. Yeah. Sell the move, right? Like, that used to be a finisher.
I guess in order for it to be effective, you have to tune up the band, right? Because think about it, dude. Like,
but even for the Usos, it used to be a thing.
You're kicking somebody this super kick, right? You're kicking people in the face 5-6 different times, and they just keep – it's like punches back and forth.
Right.
I don't
know. I didn't like it. You know, and
I'm the old man complaining about the super kick.
But it's the truth.
Back in my day, we tuned up the band.
That's the truth, though, right? Like, it's a thing where, especially with the story that was supposed to be told here, the package was done very great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right? No problems there.
We should have felt – this match a lot more than we did.
And the
live crowd wasn't. We didn't get a Rikishi, which he was at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, come on, Kishi. I don't know. You know what? Honestly, I say that. I don't know Rikishi's health, mobility. I don't know.
If he's able, we needed more to care about this match. And again, a big reason why is because there was no reason for Jimmy to win this match.
No.
Because they have built Jey Uso up as one of the most overstars in the company. And on the other end, no one cares about what Jimmy Uso is doing. Nope. And now that he lost clean at Mania, I don't know what you do with him after Mania.
He's just going to follow Solo around, I guess, until they find something better to do.
And why is that a WrestleMania caliber match outside of them being brothers, right?
Why was Solo not even involved in that match?
Exactly.
You're like literally real life three brothers. I don't understand this.
That felt like a match that was cut for some reason. I'm not sure if it was cut for
probably
time.
For the main event. I heard, the rumor is a lot of matches on that on night one were cut because of the main event. Some people say that's not the case. The main event just went long because they could.
I mean, they did go late that night, so I believe that. But it just felt like a match. I don't know if it was. It felt like a match that was cut. It felt like a lot of spots, a solo spot.
Yeah.
Time in general, it felt like there was a lot more story to tell, and it was just over.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you just said it right now. I was going to ask you, did you watch it like I did, just kind of waiting for something to happen?
Yeah,
and it was like, just over. Oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess. And in the main event, yeah, it did go long. There's stories of people saying that they had booked an Uber because they thought it was going to be over by 11.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's...
Don't ever book an Uber.
It's
10:15.
They're still doing entrances. It's like, don't. What are you doing?
That's on you. That's on you. What are you trying to book an Uber from a live show?
Throw your money away like that. Go ahead.
Especially
like,
a WrestleMania.
On. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Why, if you're trying to book an Uber to get hurry up and leave, why are you even there? WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Come on.
Get out of here. Nah, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. That is a match that should have happened at Survivor Series. That match, that story lost so much heat. Between August and April, that's a lot of time where they didn't really see each other. And then, again, the trajectory of both led to why people didn't care about this. Jey Uso became one of the biggest stars. Jimmy Uso became someone we just don't care about.
Well, it was evident they didn't know what to do with Jimmy. He was the one that started the whole let's leave the bloodline thing and then screws his brother over to not beat Roman. And then it's like, hey, let's get back together. Be the Usos. And it's like, what are you doing with this guy? Like...
Let's get through some other WrestleMania matches before we get out of here. Bayley winning that women's title, defeating Io Sky. Is there someone on the current roster that you feel like should step up to her, or maybe a surprise NXT call-up? Where do you want to go with that?
Not just yet. I think Dakota's the next one. I think that's a natural program to get into, and sure. I think it'll be just a pretty fine challenger to have.
I think especially with the Kabuki Warriors still holding title
right.
titles.
Yep.
If the leader right, is Dakota Kai, but the Kabuki Warriors are the champions.
Yeah.
That's going to turn into something there, which they lost at Mania as well. How much longer does Damage Control really have?
Right.
With Io losing her title, but Dakota is the easy option. I think big program-wise, I want to see them do more with Jade before I see her get involved
in a
title match, right? Because she's been protected, and I understand why. But even on Raw, she had a squash match with Chelsea Green.
Chelsea.
And I love the story, and I love Chelsea.
You got to say her name the right way.
I can't do a Samantha Irvin. Shout out to Samantha Irvin for WrestleMania
weekend, love the way she announces her. It's so good.
Oh, all WrestleMania weekend, the emotion
showed. She was the, like, she didn't have a match, but she was, like, one of the best parts of WrestleMania.
No, she's a Pat McAfee. She does not want to know what happens.
I will say this. That call, her call for Cody winning, that's... That and I'm, this is not. I don't feel this is exaggeration, hyperbole. That call, her emotion, the emotion of her voice calling that, announcing him as winner. That's going down in all the great calls of wrestling history. I'm talking about up there with Jim Ross calling Austin's win.
Yes,
all that. It's just. It was a moment.
It was real.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Real
emotion.
It
wasn't professional. It wasn't clean. It wasn't any of that. It was real.
Nobody's yelling in her ear to say this and say that. Yep. She was real raw emotion.
That's
and I
totally fine.
It
she could barely get it out, and that's okay because we can't either because we didn't think it was going to happen, right?
Right.
And when we're watching at home or the live crowd, Ricky Starks is there. He's losing his mind, right?
That's wild.
Shout out to the support that Cody had.
Again,
right?
Like you said earlier, dude, it's a whole new era. People are open to just like – we're all wrestlers.
Logan Paul showed a video of his reaction watching live. I mean, it was it's real emotion. And Samantha Irvin, all weekend long, but specifically for that Cody main event, showed that beautifully. But yes, Dakota Kai easily should step up to Bayley.
It serves also that for Dakota Kai to do that because now you have the situation in damage control with Bayley's champion. She's not in the group. Io lost.
Yeah.
Now it's Dakota Kai and Io looking at each other like, well, I'll get it done since you can't.
Right,
and now you're creating that internal rift there that has nothing to really do with Bayley anymore.
Yeah, I don't think Damage Control's around much come summer.
I don't think so.
I mean, I think
once
Dakota loses,
it's
just going to kind of lead to that feud. I think a Dakota-Io feud is solid. So Dakota gets that next title, although SummerSlam, if Bayley's still champion, it's interesting. Where do you go with that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you could break up Damage Control and take an Asuka because remember, like Asuka's a tag champion right now, but she's a single star. Right. And she could headline a pay-per-view with Bayley for the women's title, Damage Control not included.
It depends on the draft too, because you could very well see Candice LeRae challenger, the heel version. Yeah, if Bayley's going to be a face,
yeah,
and if they get sent to the same brand, I mean, there's a lot of options there.
Sami Zayn ends the IC title run of Gunther. Do you feel like this was the right call?
How excited were you?
Oh, my.
How excited were you?
Look.
I know, watching Raw, that you were like, when Kaiser was talking, you were like, yes, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
Yes. I'm like, me and Ludwig, we go back.
You guys go way back.
We go way back. Yeah. Now, look, it's hard not to feel that emotion. The second I saw his wife and kid backstage and then KO at the curtain, I'm like,
he's going
to
win.
He's winning this.
Okay. Was it the right call? Was it the right time for Gunther to lose? Yes.
Yes, it was. Not the right guy.
Should have been Chad Gable.
Should have been Chad Gable.
That's just me and that you apparently, and I think a lot of people actually, should have been Chad Gable.
And it blows my mind. We're getting an IC title match between those two next week on Raw in Montreal.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Why is Gable okay with this? Right? I am waiting for Gable to turn around and take out Sammy because you are in the spot that I am. It makes no sense that he trained him to be in the spot that he should be. He teamed with him. When he teamed with him on Raw, I was waiting for the turn afterwards.
Yeah,
it still never happened. And if it doesn't happen after this title match, it makes no sense because there's no way Gable's winning next week.
No, but you have a real opportunity. I don't think so either. But you have a real opportunity here to make that heel turn.
Yes.
I mean, it based on not even just, I want that championship, I trained you, blah, 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 blah. The simplicity of Gable telling Sammy, my kid cried too.
Yeah.
And just having that be his whole basis of, you don't deserve this any more than me.
That's
all you got to do. It's simple. You don't got to overthink it.
That match should have been a triple threat that Gable should have won. I'm okay with Sammy being
involved. I would have been fine with that. Yep.
And I know that the U.S. title was a triple threat. I get it. We would have been fine. A
lot of multi-people matches on
there
this
was,
show.
There was.
But it's okay. It's okay.
Liv Morgan being thrown in the women's title picture. Rhea retained against Becky. Liv Morgan assaulting Rhea on Raw.
She sure did.
You like this move?
She threw herself in that chair.
That chair throw out of nowhere.
She threw herself and that chair into the title picture. I'm okay with this.
Yeah.
I think it's something Liv Morgan needs. Of course, keep feeding challenges to Rhea, and let's just see how we can build on this. Liv Morgan obviously wasn't on WrestleMania, and we already went the Nia Jax route.
Yeah.
So let's go this route.
That's what we said before WrestleMania. We were surprised Liv Morgan was one of the first names in the women's division that was not included on the WrestleMania card, and it's not a knock on anything. It's just that's how much we have going on in WWE.
Yeah.
That being said, that's why this is the perfect route. Do I think she wins? No, but I think it's a beautiful challenger for Rhea to look strong at a pay-per-view. I don't think Rhea holds the title much longer. Right, but I think this is a solid win. A former champion, they have history. Liv's great. She's been great since she's been back. It's a great spot, great timing for her. I love it. What about Stephanie McMahon? We kind of mentioned her name earlier. Your reaction to seeing Stephanie McMahon back on screen? She was at the Hall of Fame, but then welcomed everyone to Night 2. According to Triple H at the press conference after Night 2, outside of thinking his wife looked very good, which shout out to Paul Levesque for that, but.
Man loves his wife.
He does. You got to love it. Love, right?
Love.
But he also mentioned, it sounds like Steph's back,
like in official capacity.
Yeah, backstage, behind the scenes. Your reaction to that?
My reaction, one, it was great to see her. It's been a while. I mean, aside from the Hall of Fame. But just there must be, and we already kind of know, I think a lot of fans already speculate on it too. There must be a complete seismic shift outside of just someone like Bruce Pritchard being there.
Yeah.
To allow her to come back, because the last time Vince came back, she left immediately.
Right away.
Now I think it's just like, look, this truly is Triple H's era. This is the Triple H Nick Khan era. That's all there is.
Outside of the Cody moment, and of course a lot of other things that happened throughout the weekend, this was a huge moment. Seeing her on screen, Triple H kind of confirming at the press conference that she's back. Because, like you said, that was a huge deal for her.
Yes.
She didn't want it, and Triple H spoke on this as well. She wanted nothing to do with this business, right? It took a lot for her. And the fact that she, after everything that has happened, her leaving, everything that happened with Vince, even before all the BS that came out afterwards, right? She wanted nothing to do with this company. And behind the scenes, on screen, the whole, morale of that, and I know it's weird to say that for a boss figure, but the whole morale backstage right now is at a level that she wants to be back in the fold. This was a huge moment for me to say things are really different in WWE.
I mean, dude, you said the word right now, morale. We just talked about it a bit ago. some people working double duty at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This is not the 80s, 90s where, you know, someone's going to say, it's not going to work for me, brother. You know, it's like we're all in as a team, as a locker room. We want this thing to be the best it can be. And there's nobody shouting down ideas.
Right.
There's nobody, you know, it's just, I think it's a more, obviously you're going to have your whatevers, but the environment, at least in my mind, has to be so much more positive and you know, forward thinking now that she would want to come back and feel comfortable to do so.
The tag titles were split up on WrestleMania weekend. Awesome Truth, the Raw Tag Champions. Grayson Waller, Austin Theory are the SmackDown Tag Champions. Do you like how they did this?
I do. And I know I'm assuming it's going to be kind of static depending on, you know, the draft and all.
Yeah.
But I hope they stick to it. Because now you have enough tag teams in place, and even though some people may not be a fan of tag team wrestling, I think they've paid enough attention to the tag team division to be able to have at least three or four teams on each show.
Right. I love Awesome Truth getting it just for the moment. I do, and we mentioned before WrestleMania, I think a DIY turn would be the call there.
I think so.
I don't like Grayson Waller and Austin Theory winning it. I'm a big fan of Waller. It does nothing, yeah. Right? And it's Austin Theory. I'm sorry. Like, Grayson Waller's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm sorry,
exactly,
but it's Austin
thought.
Theory.
I'm looking at that team, and I'm like, you're the problem.
Yes.
Because this guy, if Grayson Waller was the United States champion, the Intercontinental champion, a tag team champion with somebody else,
no.
It's like, he'd be great. He'd be fine. You're dragging him down.
Yes.
I don't know what they need to do with Austin Theory, but.
Look, this is a harsh term, but there's a term out there, charisma vacuum. And that is Austin Theory.
John Cena tried to warn us.
John Cena, he warned
tried to
us.
Warn him.
He tried to warn everybody going into WrestleMania 39. That is correct.
Like I'm, no, you're right. And John Cena, I'm going to do a favor for you, WrestleMania 39, and guess what? It's not going to matter one bit.
At all. And here we are. And they put a title on him, and people still don't care. I would have taken Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate winning this on the SmackDown side.
You want to get Austin Theory in here, and we can ask him what happened?
Okay, why you got to go that route? And you talk to him first.
I'm going to tell him. So, Mr. Theory.
See, when you go Mr. Theory with it, I already
Justin
know where
Valentine
you're going. Yeah, there it is.
Wanted me to ask you.
Yep.
What happened?
Yeah, use full name too.
Yeah.
You know, use full name on me? Come on.
You want me to throw middle name in there? No, we don't got to do that.
Logan Paul, you were correct. Still U.S. champion.
I know I was.
Okay.
I text you as much.
I know you did.
I text you. What'd I say? That was the text message. What'd I say?
Where do you want him to go with this title now? What's a challenger? Do you wait till SummerSlam? I mean, we're going to Saudi again. We're going to France. What do you think?
LA Knight's the one that makes the most sense. But, I mean, that's after the draft. I don't want to do that immediately because that's your summer program.
I think
that could be your SummerSlam program. Now, does Logan Paul drop that at SummerSlam?
In Cleveland?
Given where they're at.
That's another reason why I thought he should have dropped it here.
Not at all.
Because I feel like it would have made more sense for him to win something back in Cleveland.
But because what do you do to someone that – give the fans what they want. He's like one of the most hated people. They don't like him. They can't – his personality is such. So have him lose in his kind of sort of hometown.
Look, Randy Orton didn't get pinned, and I think there's a lot to go with that because I know a lot of people may think, okay, Orton and Cody, that makes sense.
Look at you trying to find loopholes here.
I think Randy Orton and Logan Paul.
I wouldn't hate it, though. I wouldn't hate that at all.
One-on-one? Remember, Logan Paul feuds with everyone he brings on the show.
And Randy basically makes everyone look good in the ring.
He does.
Let's do it.
And it went well. KO's the one that got pinned, which they already had their one-on-one feud. I don't know if you wait till SummerSlam for that. But I do think that that's a feud that you should get to.
That match was awesome, though.
That one, and I think it was a great match. I don't think you wait till SummerSlam. I think it makes sense to kind of push. You can go as soon as Backlash. If not, I know they're doing the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi.
Ooh, Logan Paul can be King of the Ring.
If he would have dropped the U.S. title.
No, why can't he have both?
Why can't you give someone else the shine? We talk about the level of main event people on the roster.
Why are you so... Can we have him on the show and I can ask him?
Why do you want everyone on the show now?
Because I
want to
ask him in person. I'm going to be like, so Mr.
You have a guest list to just hate on me,
Mr.
At this
Paul.
Point.
Why
Mr.
does
Paul?
Justin
Come
Valentine
on,
hate you so much?
That's Paul Levesque.
I spend this show.
Mr.
Don't get angry. It's okay. You're throwing things. You're beside yourself. You're hysterical.
Yeah. All right. Roxanne Perez, Ilya Dragunov, they showed up on Raw. NXT call ups or appearances, whatever it may be. Did you like their showings?
It was fine for what it was. I think they're both probably ready to move up sooner than later. But, you know, obviously right now with the draft pending, there's no reason to make anything official.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of weird because they just spent weeks trying to sign people to shows and now they're – however that works.
Yeah. Andrade's on Raw, by the way. Like, they did make that official. I like the showings. I mean, I like Roxanne Perez a lot. I like Ilya Dragunov. A lot of people do. this is one thing that I do not understand of the Paul Levesque era, if we're going to go that route, right? NXT call-ups do not make any sense to me. He declared for the draft at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And he's the NXT champion, but he's already been on Raw, right? Roxanne Perez, they didn't say much about her. Bron Breakker has been on SmackDown, has signed to SmackDown, but yeah. he's an NXT tag champion with Corbin and still on that show every week.
And Shinsuke lost again.
Shinsuke lost again. At least he didn't call him out this time.
Wait, so, okay, so because NXT GM Ava was on
and
Raw.
And she's there. Is
and
this
she
a third
says,
brand?
She says that something to the effect of who knows who about people getting sent to NXT. Yeah. So I'm like, so Damian Priest could be drafted to NXT?
That's my point.
Like, what are we doing?
That's where that's the one thing that has not been clear in the whole time that Triple H and
Triple
Shawn Michaels.
H. We found one flaw.
We found a flaw.
Here
I don't
go.
Know what NXT is.
Here we go.
Is
now
it developmental?
Spiral.
Yeah, right. Is it a developmental? Is it a third roster? What are we doing here?
I don't know what's happening. Like, why are we saying that we can send? Like, I get if you're like, okay, well, I wouldn't even say someone like Shinsuke or Bronson Reed, because it's like, all right, so maybe Shinsuke.
I don't know.
But why?
But they still treat him like a developmental.
Like,
it's a
Sammy
weird thing.
Taking the IC title to NXT? Like, what are we doing?
It's been years of this, and when Ilya Dragunov shows up with the NXT title and says I declare for the draft, I'm confused.
NXT has to remain the developmental, and that's
leave that. It at that.
Just leave it at that.
Any other shout-outs from WrestleMania weekend that we didn't mention?
Seth Rollins literally was the Shield. And yeah. I don't mean in the sense of he came out to the music and wore the tactical gear. I mean he kicked off Roman's distraction, which caused him to lose. So if they did the whole Avengers theme, which they tried to play on, even with that new signature intro,
yeah.
Seth Rollins is the Iron Man Tony Stark. And I laughed harder than I should have laughed because Rock was wearing that gaudy, awful Elvis Presley sleeveless jumpsuit. And it just looked funny as hell to me when he got chokeslammed.
Love it. Shout out to Jason Kelsey. Great moment. Not expected, but great moment.
Good stuff.
Shout out to the Street Fight over-delivering. That's a story where, like, why is this?
Talk
Karrion
about
Cross, what the hell? And that was one of the most entertaining. Bubba Ray Dudley, Snoop Dogg on commentary.
Okay, I think I told you, the greatest thing about this moment, aside from this match being awesome, is that right now, at WrestleMania, the 40th WrestleMania, Snoop Dogg is probably high as a kite.
Yep.
Calling a match at WrestleMania.
And the best part about that, Pat McAfee probably just as high.
Yep, and probably Michael Cole. Corey Graves is literally sitting there like these animals.
Yeah. Michael Cole is an animal, right? Ever since he's been hanging around Pat for the last couple years, he's kind of moved from being this like, I'm from Syracuse, kind of like clean cut,
dude. Michael Cole now, because he's not being like yelled at to say certain things, when you catch those little moments of him just kind of saying stuff under his breath, he's hilarious.
Yes.
And moment for me for WrestleMania, Michael Cole at the end, shedding tears, hugging Cody.
Oh, man.
So
that
good.
Whole moment, that whole celebration.
It was literally, okay, from the time Lil Nate, Charles Robinson counted three.
Pat McAfee.
That Lil Nate, that crowd, it was that elation of the World Series win for the home team.
Yes.
The Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, whatever it is. Yeah. It was just this fog is now lifted.
Yeah.
And we can just celebrate and breathe.
And it's not just a Cody thing. It's, again, that movement like we are actually in a new era.
Yeah, the old regime
Nothing
is
against
done.
Roman Reigns.
No,
Thank
no, no,
you,
no,
Roman,
no.
for everything. Phenomenal Hall
Amazing
of Fame.
Amazing title reign.
Legendary run.
But the
legendary
old regime
story,
is done.
But that's what it is. Yeah. You feel that shift. And that is like a weight.
Even just watching it at home, you're like, okay.
It's done.
You know?
I do want one quick thing. I'm not shouting out my better half per se about watching because, you know, again, I didn't force her. She watched. But I want to talk about the product because, you know, a lot of times she's around when I have it on the TV and she's kind of doing her own thing.
Right.
She knows. She follows, whatever it may be. When I tell you that Sunday main event, I kept looking over at her. She is on the couch. She's not a huge wrestling fan, but kind of follows it, whatever it may be. Everything is put aside. She is intently staring at this main event.
Wow.
Right?
Big Fight Phil, man.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Even I've had people who around our building here who aren't wrestling people who watched that main event that thought it was insane. That is what Triple H is doing for this product.
Can we have Mia on the show so she can I can ask
her. She offers a lot.
And I'll be like, "Hey, so Miss Mia, why is Justin Valentine?
Don't put her on the guest list. Put her right next to Logan Paul.
We're gonna have a busy. Okay, well, she's gonna get
it's a busy show
booking.
Yeah, Logan I can Paul, pencil you Logan in for
Paul
5 minutes.
Logan Paul has to follow Mia, so we're gonna. It's gonna be a busy week.
Oh man! Speaking of busy week, SmackDown coming to Little Caesars Arena. Yes. It is the first SmackDown after WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes expected to be there as champion. Bayley's first appearance as champion. Tickets are still available. Ticketmaster.com. We're gonna be there.
Yep.
Find us before the show. If you got tickets to the show, we want to upgrade you to the floor. We're going to play some random wrestling trivia, and if you get it right, we're going to send you to the floor up close and personal to the first SmackDown.
Do your homework. You know your history. Watch some old matches. Good for you.
We'll see you guys there, all right? Roar Around the Ring is available every Wednesday, 101 WRIF's YouTube page, WRIF.com. He's that dude, Darrell Taylor. I'm Justin Valentine. We'll talk to you guys very soon.